God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand. And
it is time for a visit from across the pond from less visible. He comes by for an audio commentary this time every month. You want to tune in and check him out. He's got some very good points. Very passionate. Very into. He's one of these guys that you're gonna love him or hate him. And of course, we love him here at Feet the Fire. Now, less visible.
Ah, good evening. Buonasera. Guten Abend. Bonsoir. And good evening again. And so on and so forth. Welcome to another brief interlude into what's going on in my mind at the moment. Well, technically, it's not my mind, it's our mind. There's only one mind. I don't care how you slice it, and slice it we do. In order to get to that personal identification thing, that personal identification is only the particular point where we're accessing that one mind. As I proceed with my little efforts of no consequence, I note there's this phenomena that occurs at my blogs and sometimes in conversation, when I have one, which isn't often unless you count the conversations I have with the ineffable or my dogs, which are one-sided mostly in either direction. I notice this phenomena where someone will come off with a, yeah, but, said in more ways than I just said good evening earlier, but it's still yeah, but. I don't mind yeah, but. I'm not opposed to explaining something I already said. But the yeah, but is often a clear sign the person didn't pay attention to what they were reading in the first place, so there wouldn't have been a yeah, but, because the question being asked had already been answered. People don't pay attention when they're reading and listening because their minds are already forming objections, because the mind is reactive. The personal identity always knows more than everyone else, even when it didn't process the information it was objecting to. Now, lest you get the idea I'm indicating here that I'm always right to begin with, or that there shouldn't be objections or clarifications needed for something I may have written or said, that's not the case. I'm speaking about a specific thing that I notice. Here's an example. Let's say I wrote somewhere in an essay, and so, you see, you'll get green if you add blue and yellow together, and that's why dolphins take ketamine. And let's say the person listening then replies, yeah, but, I get the part about the dolphins, but what happens when you add blue and yellow together? This actually occurs. This happens enough for me to be talking about it. And there's another phenomena, also happens. I was recently talking about 2012, and I make a real effort to provide a balanced compilation of hard science in tandem with the curious consistency of agreement in the myths of many ancient cultures, widely divorced from each other by time and distance. I made no predictions as to any particular thing happening at any particular time. I was at great pains to avoid this because I flat out don't know. I publish this information to inspire people to think and nothing more, because there is one thing I do know, and that is that big changes are coming. And they're likely to be very uncomfortable for the unprepared. And I thought people might want to consider what they're doing, where they are, and maybe even think about who they are, and somehow it might cause them to go through certain personal changes that would make the big changes that are coming less painful. Well, you can read the piece at Smoking Mirrors and form your own conclusions. So some fellow writes to me to say, and I quote, "Let me see here. As always, it strikes me as funny that some would make the great mistake of assigning a date for the end. Call it human nature. Call it psychological need for such things. Call it pure ignorance. There's a better source for what has been going on over the past few decades, and it's called revelations. Why is it that I believe whenever it comes, many here are going to pay a high price for allowing their spiritual rantings to drift into the new age?" Thank you, Savonarola. My first thought was that I never said anything about the end, and was careful to say that it was a time of transformation in which old things are passing away and new things are being born. I also gave no specific dates for anything because, as I said before, I don't know. Let me repeat that. I don't know. My next thought was to say, it always strikes me as funny that someone would take the visionary commentary of a fellow who might have taken mushrooms and had a vision about quite literal things concerning the time he was living in, and would ascribe a date for this vision to be acted out by saying that there's a better source for what's been going on over the past few decades, etc., and by implication saying that this is the time of revelations. The irony is that I'm not saying anything different from he is, from what he was, were he paying attention. I'm just not putting a religious spin on it, because all religions are no more than the clothes God was wearing at a particular time for a particular reason in an effort to reach a particular people. Unfortunately, most of these particular people all think that they alone are the particular people, which just ain't so. Yes, I don't know. But I'm thinking God is not so narrow-minded or racist, and that literalist or dogmatist and fundamentalist with some version of the mind of Oliver Cromwell, that eternal bureaucratic headspace, are simply practicing anthropomorphism and making God just a larger version of themselves with all the attendant shortcomings and prejudices. Maybe you've heard the tale of the wind and the sun and the traveler. The sun and the wind were watching a traveler passing on the road below. It was either early spring or late fall. Does it matter? No. So the wind said to the sun, I'll bet you I can blow his coat off. The sun said something to the effect of, well, go ahead. So the wind began to blow, but the more that he blew, the tighter the traveler pulled his coat around him. Finally, the wind gave up, and the sun said, let me give it a try. The sun put forth his rays, and very soon the traveler removed his coat and placed it over his arm. I'm sure I didn't tell that story very well, but what I was trying to illustrate speaks to the purveyors of religious my way or the highway posturing. If you want someone to take an interest in what you're peddling, then show them the love. Show them the inherent value in your argument. Show them the useful truth. If you use the Bible as a club, you're going to create a defense net that you can't penetrate. You can't make people love you by beating them up. You can't convince an intelligent person to engage you in discourse when you are inflexible in your argument and when you don't know what you're talking about in the first place, and often we do not, especially when we're taking it upon ourselves to interpret the mind of someone else who, common understanding has it, was far wiser than we. Ergo, I don't know. It's a bit of a mantra for me. I can only tell you how things seem, but I wish that some would pay attention in the first place rather than thinking listening is only waiting for their turn to speak, because it makes it difficult to dance with them. It takes the fun out of it. It's a tad disheartening to me to take such trouble to say things in a way to avoid insisting on particular conclusions, only to find that there are those who believe I've done just that. Or, and this is even more interesting, there are those who insist I'm being vague only to avoid being pinned down and challenged. In other words, they're just looking to argue to begin with. I'm not looking to argue. I don't like arguing, and it would take a skilled manipulator to get me into one. I just morph into an indulgent tolerance that removes the resistance factor. That also seems to piss people off. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, it really hasn't got anything to do with me, to tell you the truth. That was just for the purposes of illustration, and I don't really have enough of this sort of thing where it bothers me. It's just something I notice. I'm talking about this because it seems to be a feature of human nature to miss a great many things by not paying attention, and that can be very risky and dangerous. Crossing the street, driving down the highway, talking about nothing on a cell phone, checking out a passing sexual interest, trying to drink and think at the same time and converse. Even in ordinary times, it can compromise your awareness, but these are not ordinary times. I don't care if you subscribe to 2012 or the hyped-up BS of global warming. I don't care if you're religious or spiritual or none of the above. You need to be paying attention. Quite some of you have no choice now, do you? This begs the question of whether you were paying attention before this, before you lost your job or became in danger of losing your home or whatever situation these times are putting you in. If you're paying attention, you can now see that Obama is leaving in place a great deal of the draconian circumstances created by Bush Ligula. Your money is being stolen and placed at the disposal of bankers. Not the most compassionate sort, are they? Well, they wouldn't be stealing your money if they were. Meanwhile, the banks are failing and are going to fail in a spectacular fashion, the like of which you haven't seen yet. And so you might well ask where that money went. Nature's acting more and more strange. Hey, nature's a reflection of the mind we were talking about, and there are cosmic influences as well. The very worst sort of people just took over Israel, and there were some really bad people in charge there before. But now you've got the creme de la guano of what's available. I believe I can see Iran coming up in the Doctor Strangelove window, a country that hasn't attacked anyone in over 1,000 years and who the IAEA says is cooperating in all regards and is not making a nuclear device. I know this, so Obama probably knows it. So what makes Obama and the heads of several European nations lie about what is so? What has given us leaders who are liars, thieves, and murderers? Why is all of this being exposed to us, and why is the world, in concert with this, appearing to be going down the tubes? This is something we should be paying attention to. However, you have only to seat yourself on a park bench, at a bus stop, in a cafe window, and watch to see what people are paying attention to. You have only to look at the profusion of entertainments in ubiquitous array as Nero tunes his fiddle, as the band plays on, as the lifeboats go into the water, and the wild seas are whipped to a tempest froth by the madness of the very mind we are talking about. Here is your world, seeming to be collapsing like a house of cards, and people are focused on who's going to win the Oscars, what they're going to do this weekend, what sort of useless junk they should buy, or in many cases desperately scheming about what seems to be disappearing, or what they would like to make appear so that they can lose interest in it and move on to something else. The mind is a monkey that is attended by a dog of desire. One of them is scampering around in his cage, masturbating with one hand and eating a banana with the other. The other is sniffing and licking, and probing endlessly in pursuit of appetite satisfaction to fill an emptiness that can no more be filled by what it is being given than a fire will suddenly say, "Okay, I've had enough wood now. I think I'll take a nap." This is a lunatic asylum. Just because it is following predictable patterns does not mean it's sane. Just because what you see is familiar does not mean it is not strange and unnatural. That's the thing about habitually doing things wrong. After a while, it takes upon itself the appearance of natural routine. Meanwhile, some very heavy acts are waiting in the wings while you're waiting for your order of chicken wings to go with that pitcher of beer. I'm not telling you not to have fun. I'm telling you should be paying attention, especially if you're in an urban setting, especially given what has been slowly emerging around you. You're being lied to 24/7. Why? Why are the most despicable characters from central casting running the show? Why do you keep watching the show while members of the audience are disappearing all around you? Yeah, but if your message was softer visible, people would be more inclined to listen to it. Hey, I'm not Julio Iglesias or Sade. It's the elevator music that got you into this fix in the first place. Maybe it's time for a little rock and roll before the Four Horsemen pick up their instruments and do a little Metallica on your but. I'm not under the delusion that living in a hard-to-find rural environment, far from most everything, that I've got a magical pass to survival. Death and disorder can find you anywhere. Doesn't have to be in Samara. I live simply because I'm not dependent on things I don't need and won't miss because they're not here to be gone to begin with. There's a great deal of comfort and serenity in a simple existence, without televisions and radios and rampaging discotheque sidewalks dancing you off the pier of reality. You can anticipate that dancing and distraction are going to be ramping up big time now because there is so much to keep your attention off of. Let me tell you, the time to be paying attention is before you have to pay attention, not at the moment it is demanded. Is it just me? Something is wrong with the picture, it seems. It's clear that a select few are diligently at work, stealing more than they will ever need, with the assistance of those elected to serve your interests. So what are you planning to do with that extra $13 a week that this new administration is going to give you with that tax break? Retire? Maybe you've got your eye on a hedge fund? Yeah, but. People, we are living in the times that we always heard about. These are the times that we are in. Times of prophecy and marvel, of change, dramatic change. And you will either change or you will be changed. And my suggestion is that there's two ways to go with that. And one of them doesn't hurt quite so much as the other. In fact, it can be quite liberating if you're open to it. Here's what I'm trying to say. Pay attention, and in paying attention, ask within what might be the best course for you to follow in these coming times. Ask yourself, where am I? Who am I? What am I? What do I really want? Where do I have to be to enjoy what I value? What do I value? Seeking the answers to these questions puts the mind in a perspective where a mysterious understanding can dawn. What's important to you? Within the answer to this question lies your destiny. Yeah, but. Well, I guess there are a lot of situations we can find ourselves in saying, yeah, but. And some of those situations, yeah, but ain't going to cut it. Won't make any difference and will have zero impact on where you have placed yourself. Okay, good listeners, we approach the end times of this radio address and hope that you will find what you seek and that good fortune will find you as you do. So I send you a warm aloha to all, and I'll see you next month, if there is one. God bless and keep you until then.
God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. No, God's not dead.